My plan today is to focus on application of some of the teaching that I've been giving over this summertime into the specific area of the parenting of teenagers. The last time that we had this time of speaking about parenting, I focused on the raising of toddlers or infants and toddlers and made application of those of that teaching to some of the specific questions that go along with having infants and toddlers. I won't go into detail on the middle years, in that the several books that I've been reading along with this study have basically reiterated all of the things that I've already spoken about, and talk about the faithful application of that through the middle years. It's not that the middle years are unimportant. It's been given maybe greater attention already to those to the standard operating procedure of parenting, and then given special attention to some of the specific questions that go along with infancy, and then on the other end of the spectrum to the parenting of teenagers. So I'm going to focus on that today and talk about some of the characteristics of what takes place in the teenage years, and then I found a very helpful focus in Ted Tripp's book of Shepherding a Child's Heart, Three Foundations for a Life, that I'll concentrate on especially. Let me open it up and ask parents and teens and preteens, that's all of you, how you would characterize the teenage years. We did that with babies, and if you were to use one or two words to describe the teenage years, how would you describe them?
Hard.
Okay. Okay, busy.
Dramatic.
Very good, Daniel. Driving. Good. Yeah, that's one of the... was that something that you do, or that the years are driving? Both? Okay. JD and Stephen?
Studying.
Okay, that you a lot of studying that takes place, Stephen?
Thinking.
Okay. you might be surprised if you don't remember your teenage years. I remember I did sleep a lot. And that's because, you know why that is? You know why teenagers sleep a lot? Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. They're just lazy. That's because there are some physical things going on, and you know, a baby sleeps a lot because a baby's growing, and there's a lot of physical development taking place. There's a lot of physical development in the teen years that's taking place too, and so if you find yourself being more sleepy, don't be too surprised. You don't need to just give in and say, "Oh, that's just puberty. I want to go take a nap." But don't be too surprised. Hannah? Okay, yeah, there's a growing responsibility that takes place. Paige? That's part of that responsibility. Yeah, as you get older, and as you have, as you show yourself more responsible, there are more things that are expected of you. Rachel? That's a good word, too. There are a lot of changes that are taking place. Lisa?
Freedom.
Huh? Yeah. That's something that goes along with responsibility, is that as your parents, or as you as parents see your children as being more and more responsible, that there are more freedoms, and we are training them to make decisions for themselves, and so that's taking place more and more. Okay, yeah. And that can... Let me come back to that, Abigail.
More lazy.
That might be. We want to we want to be training you to guard against the laziness. Now, let me go back to the independence. You've hit on some very good things, and I might just comment that, again, the several resources that I've used have described the teenage years as both exciting and attractive, as well as frightening, demanding, and foreboding. That they're both emotions or both aspects of the teenage years that maybe we tend to forget those as parents, that that it can be both very exciting but also a little frightening. And depending on your own experience, that might tip towards one of those others. I remember my junior year in high school as being being my favorite year. And as I looked back on that, it was interesting the reasons that I assigned to that. It says, being one of the upperclassmen in high school, there are greater opportunities and responsibilities and privileges. But you're not a senior yet, and so you don't have to make these decisions about where you're going to school or where are you in your classwork. And the level of responsibility isn't quite so high. And just as I reflect back on that, I think that shows a little bit of both of those emotions, the exciting side of things as well as the somewhat frightening aspects of that. In fact, I remember going through high school telling my parents that I planned on living at home when I grew up. And that's not a bad desire per se, but it also, I think, reflects not just the love for home, but also hesitancy to be anywhere else. And I'll come back to that again a little bit later, too. The idea of independence is one that that can go in one of two directions, can it? We are training our children to be independent. We're training you as young people to be responsible adults, which means that you will not always live with your parents. You'll need to be making decisions for your own life that are very important. So independence is something that we are training you for. But I said it can go in a couple of different directions, because I was actually thinking that someone might use the term rebellion along with teenager, because of that's often a word that gets assigned to the teenage years. And part of it is looking for, or maybe a misguided looking for, the development of that individuality or that independence. It can go in a sinful and a dangerous and destructive direction, though. But it's not just characteristic of the teenage years, or it isn't an onset in the teenage years. One of our children, who will remain nameless, but his initials are Sam, became a teenager this year, and those younger, namely JD, were wondering if on the morning of his 13th birthday, if Sam would lose his mind and become a big hulking teenager. And we're happy to say that he did not, that and it's just some misconceptions about becoming a teenager, as well as misconceptions about the growing up process, that it is a process. And I might comment that the rebellion that sometimes takes place in the teenage years has probably been growing and has been a process as well, and has only been given voice in the teenage years because of greater opportunity, greater freedom, or years of frustration that now the teenager has the ability to voice or to express. So in our in the whole process of parenting, the goals of shepherding our children's heart are, in a very real sense, coming to their most fruitful years when our children become teenagers, because we begin to see the application of where we've been directing them, and we can begin to see where it is that God is moving in their lives and will be using them. Just as you think about the teenage years as well, you might look at the upper teens as the time when our children will be leaving the home for good reason, for going to college, for marriage, for establishment of homes of their own. And like I said, this is what we're preparing you for. In that light, I mentioned three foundations for life that Ted Tripp lays out that I found very encouraging, and I'd lay out to you in giving direction to your teenagers and to you directly as teens or those that are close to that. I give you these three foundations for life to pursue. They're the fear of the Lord, the adherence to parental instruction, and disassociation from the wicked. Those are three very broad headings that might capture the general goals that we have for you in establishing an adult independent life. Let's begin with the fear of the Lord. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. We're just going to be in chapter 1 the rest of this afternoon. This is a well-known verse and one that we've turned to a couple times in the subject of parenting. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This has come up over and over again in the issue of parenting. You got to serve somebody. You have been made a creature of worship. You're made in God's image, and that image has been broken because of sin and remade by Christ. If you do not serve God, you will not be a neutral. You will serve somebody or something. In the teenage years, it seems as if those interests and those desires are becoming more and more specific and more well-defined. And it's of special importance at that point to, especially when now your children are able to dialogue with you in a rational way, to show them the whys and the wherefores of years of parenting. Why you have been steering them away from this thing and towards this thing. When I worked with boys at camp, we had boys that would come that were 12 years old and younger first, and then 13 years old and older that came second. And I always couldn't wait for the teenagers to get there so that conversations around the fire could be something more than what can I burn and what can I burp and boys, I guess. So I was always happy for the teenagers to get there when we could talk about things that were were real and important. And but it is fun to talk about where things burn, I guess. But so in those teen years, the guidance and the dialogue over what is true and noble and lovely and valuable, and to think on these things, to be guiding. Guiding your children to fear the Lord. Part of that is to understand the very nature of God, and to understand that we are accountable to Him. We catechize our children that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And part of that is then to learn what the Bible says about God and what duty God requires of man. There is accountability, and training our children to understand that accountability is very important. We understand God to be holy, and He calls us to be holy, and that addresses us on a lot of different areas of life, including obedience and purity. One other aspect where the fear of the Lord will address a very important issue in the years of the teenage years is to fear God and not to fear man. In other words, you tell me in other words, why is it important to fear God and not fear men? Betty?
Because
God can do anything,
we can't.
That's true. He has the right to demand that. Yeah.
If you end up fearing
men
more than God,
you can get that to work on. Bingo. Yeah. It's an interesting dynamic for you in these years, because not only are you seeking to define an independent individual, but you're doing it in the context of wanting the approval and the appreciation of those around you. There's almost seem to be two separate equal or two opposite and exclusive things, don't they? I want to be my own person, but I want you to like me. And that is a dynamic that is going on that is addressed especially by the importance and the priority of fearing God. It will guide you then. It will be the map to guide you through understanding. Is this aspect of individuality a good one? Is this, or is it a rebellious one? Is this activity, or is my trying to gain approval by men? Is that ruling my life? Is that what's most important to me? And will I do anything to gain their approval? We'll do anything to gain someone else's approval. You can imagine where that might lead. It could lead into some terrible circumstances. So the importance of fearing God instead of man is very important. Because these next two are so important, I'm going to pause right there. I lost track of the time today. And I'm going to pause right there and take up these last two next week. You can consider them and come back with some answers to what I mean by as a guiding principle for you in your teenage years to adhere to parental instruction and to disassociate from evil. And if you want some guidance on that, read the rest of Proverbs chapter 1. We'll close then in a word of prayer. Oh God, thank you that you are our light and our saving strength, Thank you that you have given us your word as a light to our path. I pray that for each one of us that we would remember that you are God and that we are not, and that you are to be feared and honored and obeyed. Help us to remember as well the love that you have for us, that you have sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. And in that light, Lord, I pray that as you have redeemed us, as you have claimed us to be your own, that we would give honor to you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.